for the people.
Hello, humans, and welcome to hey. Audio Face, the podcast about music, news, music culture on the Syndicate 23 Network. Question mark and Dan.
For those people who have iPhones that can't use an I because it turns into a question mark.
It has been a glorious day for Team Pixel. It's been a glorious week for Team Pixel.
Oh, it's been tremendous.
Question the mark am phone. Joined by...
Sean. Stupid.
And let's do social links, plug stuff in the beginning. I can be found at Dan from the Web on Twitter and Dan from the Internet on Instagram. Because I'll explain why I'm doing this right now. There's two reasons. A, I'm going to be releasing a really big, actually by the time you hear this, well, if you're hearing this in the morning, maybe it's not out yet, but if you're hearing it in the evening or any time after when the day that actually drops out, my Ben Shapiro big special thing will be up. The website will be there. It'll be a huge, cool, crazy thing. But you'll also see those upgrades for everything on the Syndicate 23 Network. So check that out. The second reason I'm bringing this up is because Bam from the We Made It podcast, which is blowing the hell up. Great soccer talk podcast.
Yeah, it really is.
On wemadeit.syndicate23.co to subscribe to them. But no, they're playing around with doing social stuff in the beginning of the episode. So I'm doing that because, you know, we're on the fly.
Yeah, and you can find me at SW Suarez on everything. There you go.
How are you liking them 280 characters?
Yeah, because Sigaros did a TU for their 280 character limit, and I just cried. I'm like, that's what it's made for. That tweet.
I like NASA's space thing. That's always
that was pretty good, too.
All right, let's go straight in. So, Eminem.
Balls in.
First off, what we'll be talking about this episode. Taylor Swift kind of released her album, but not many people can hear it, so... we'll talk about that. Walk the Moon has a new album, What If Nothing. And then we're going to talk about Super Slimy, a Future and Young Thug collab that happened a couple weeks ago that we didn't
back
get
in
the
October.
Time to. Yeah, late October. We didn't get the time to talk about, but we wanted to give our thoughts on that. Plus associated things. And yeah, we're talking about Meek Mill near the middle of the episode. So that's going to be
That's going to be fun.
That's not going to be fun. That's going to be a no chill island.
Right.
No Chill Island 3, the Meek Mill edition later on. But anyways, Eminem's first single, it came out, it's called Walk on Water, it features Beyonce, and it is...
hot garbage.
Yeah.
What the hell? It's just weird, to say the least, I guess. It's just awkward.
So we know...
It's slow, it's just really strange. Like, it doesn't fit at all. The rapping in it is just really weird. I don't like it at all.
I agree. It's so when you hear Eminem, you think of Eminem's rap style, like really provocative, really fast. It's like rapid fire. Really, actually, really talented. Like, I'm not gonna lie. And you think of Marshall Mathers as like other alter ego, because like artists do this all the time. They have alter egos, and Marshall Mathers is always like a little bit more of like a closer to heart rapping about like Eminem the person,
family.
Marshall Mathers the person, like actually talking about that. And then this, I don't know if this is going to be released as Eminem or Marshall Mathers, but it's Revival, and this is the single from the album. And the song, it's really, it's more spoken word than rap, which is, I think, what you're talking about, Sean. And it just doesn't flow right with the music. It's a really soft piece. It's really different from a lot of what you've heard from Eminem. I mean, it's not too different from, like, Monsters, per se, but... it's still just odd, and Eminem doesn't fit, and it feels more like a Beyonce song, because Beyonce is killing it with vocals, but it feels like Eminem was sloppily added onto it.
Yeah, exactly, where it just, he doesn't fit at all. Where that's a good point, it sounds like Beyonce. Like, when you said it was Eminem's new single, I'm like, okay, I'll pop it in. He's not on it in the first half of the damn song, and then it's just really awkward when he gets in there. Just like nothing fits, you know?
Yeah, so. And this is his single from his surprise album that's supposed to be coming out, which is, yikes.
Surprise! Haha! Not so much a surprise album if you've been warned three weeks before it comes out.
I mean, it could happen any moment.
Here's an album, here you go.
It has like, no that, release. That would be... It has no release date, is what I'm saying. I guess.
Yeah. I guess.
All right. It's... All right. Sean, you will get to light up. You'll get to go in.
I'm eager, man. I played goalie this morning. I'm already hot.
Oh yeah, let's talk about. Let's talk for like 30 seconds about how Sean, you're a hockey fiend now.
Right, dude. I do every sport except American football because fuck getting CTE and killing people allegedly.
On that Aaron Rodgers shit. What, okay, so we're already on the Greg Gutfeld shit list. Now you're gonna get on the Aaron Rodgers shit list. We might be near the Metro Boomin.
Aaron Hernandez list. Or what?
Right, Aaron. See, football. I don't even give a shit. But you should give a shit about soccer. We made a podcast. Anyways, one last thing.
Ooh,
about,
damn.
One last thing I wanted to one last thing I wanted to point out was this Eminem, like his promotional work for the upcoming album.
Oh, right.
Is this really bad looking website that I'll paste it in the rundown really fast. You can see it at the very bottom. But it looks like a drug advertisement from like the early 2000s.
It does.
And
it's so freaking corny and weird.
It's not a good promotional website at all. It doesn't really do it that well. It's full of these like hokey references to Eminem. I don't know, it's just really clunky and weak. I don't like it. It's not a good showing. And so that album, whenever it comes out, we'll listen to it and we'll try to hear it out. Because I don't want Eminem to suck, but between the BET Cypher thing and then all of this, it's just, he's weak. I don't know.
He's being corny, you know? He's the polar opposite of Vince Staples. He might be the one of the most corny men in America.
Yeah, and I've heard this is supposed to be his redemption thing, so we're here about that. But
Wait.
Yeah, I wanted
we
to move
do,
on.
We do the audio face normal of we get the single, we wait, we talk shit in the middle, hear the album. Maybe you'll change your mind. Maybe you'll talk more shit. It all depends how he does.
Audio face. However it shakes out, that's how you do it.
We does this.
Question mark does this.
Question mark does this. Fuck iPhones. You know Don't what? Go to Apple,
you know
guys.
You know what's an iPhone user's favorite song? Question mark by Dim. Sad, right? So's the song.
Oh, God. It's actually a really sad song, but the beat goes hard.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Anyways, I wanted to throw this in also to troll Sean as far as singles of the week go.
Fucking
21 Savage and Rich Chigga, who I don't think Sean had ever heard of before this.
No. What the hell? Crisis.
So Rich Chigga is like, remember Super Hot Fire, Sean? That like YouTube rapper that was like really dumb, was like a thing. So Rich Chigga is basically that. He's like the Asian kind of want to emulate like black, basically like Southern black culture. Kind of person, and so he does like Asian suburb trap. But the thing is,
that Asian suburb trap. So what is he in? Is he in Irvine, like chilling or something?
Real talk, I think he might be from Irvine, or like
I
a
swear,
nearby.
I hope
area.
To God he is.
Shout out to Signal
Santa Ana
Hill,
or some
right?
shit.
But anyways, honestly, Rich Chigga is not horrible as far as being a parody thing. He's like Weird Al in the sense where his parodies are good, and it's not like he's doing and like
that's awkward.
It's not like he's doing parodies of other songs. Like he's kind of doing a parody of the trap persona. So I thought it would be something that'd be really interesting to you. And it's also super cool that like he's collaborating with a real artist in 21 Savage, someone we've like their music. Well, I've liked his music, but we both criticized like how he is part of this like trap mindset of really kind of like violent imagery and like what's the purpose of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea who the hell he was. Now I guess it made sense.
Get learned.
I was really confused.
What the show's about.
Right? It was just like a normal trap song to me. But, you know, my great... I don't even know how to word it. My great hatred, I guess you could say, for trap.
Your warpath, your vendetta.
Yeah, there we go.
The hill you'll die standing.
I don't hate it. I have to be in a big mood to listen to it, but
your campaign.
I don't like it. I mean, yeah. Don't be Bush and say crusade, because then you go. You don't want to use that word again. You might wake up people from a slumber, and they might join in the fight against you.
George W. Bush from the Mission Accomplished podcast.
Oh God, the Weapons of Mass Destruction podcast. That could be a thing.
Oh my God, on the Halliburton Network. Anyways.
Right.
Anyways, so yeah, like most trap blends into you, but I did want to use this moment to like have a mini open up of our last discussion from last week where we talked about violence in like trap and how it's depicted and stuff, because also this week 21 Savage released a music video for Bank Account, and I showed Sean parts of that, and basically the like it's a heist kind of like shooting kind of thing, and it's pretty typical, which is why I'm not going into too much detail describing it. But this whole subplot is this guy who doesn't understand what's going on, and starts like taking down people, trying to like be the hero and save everything. But at the end of the video, which is really interesting, the guy comes in, and 21 Savage is just like, "What's going on? No, no, this is just a video. We're just like making." And this is the first time that the fourth wall is really broken, and you can tell that. No, everything's a video. All the people who are like a moment ago being afraid, like there's like a grandmother who's like afraid, and like 21 Savage is getting close, like about to like shoot her or something, like playing like that, right? But in part of the video is that it's an act, and like it's a very different 21 Savage when he's like rapping versus when he's like not doing that. And so I think maybe a lot of artists do this, but I think it was pretty cool that 21 Savage himself takes down that kind of like ray of how it looks, or like he takes down that, or I think this is a good answer or a good way to address the fact that, or to reconcile the fact that this genre does have a lot of like violent connotations about that, and how do you reconcile not condoning those things but continuing to like rap about them?
Right. Okay.
How do you think, like, do you buy it in a sense? Like, it wasn't really saying anything, but like what did you take away from it, I guess, is your thing? Because you can say they're at least self-aware.
Yeah, in its own way. I can't even put into words. It's weird. I'm like having a blank in my own brain of words. If that makes any sense.
How do English words
go? I know what I want to say, but I can't say it.
Well,
it's really strange. I don't know how to put it into words.
Let me see if
Sorry,
I can.
I had a cough there.
No worries. Let me see if I can try to like suss it out there. It's been a long day for both of us. We're recording the podcast.
Yeah, it's
later
been a really long day.
Recording the podcast later than usual, and I've been editing all day, so this isn't like my most brain present here. But maybe what I felt was that it was it's interesting that dichotomy is there. It's interesting that it exists, and it's nice that like a person who is coming into this music with that perspective that we had and kind of established from the prior episodes, like where is that line between this is all fiction versus like this is the lifestyle that I'm emulating and idolizing and wanting to live? And it seemed like it was most present there in that moment, whether it was artistically meant to be there or not, where it's like showing, hey, this is all like kind of weird, but we're all acting and we're all like choosing to act in this. And like, yeah, whatever this acting thing is, people are into it and people like buy it. Like while watching the video, if I wasn't thinking of it as a, like actually what it was, like if I was thinking of it as like a Grand Theft Auto heist, looked kind of badass, looked kind of fun. Like, and I love the song anyway. So like, it's not to say that on a certain level I didn't like it, but I think I am coming away with that better knowing how it ended, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, because you kind of put a spin off it. I remember when you sent it to me, we go, oh, look, it's a little different take on it where it's not being as serious as other videos have been in the past.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's like, where it's just really, really heavy in your face. Hey, this is what we do. This is what goes on. And so weiter. So then you can hear, or you could see it now, it's like, oh, you're kind of playing with it a bit, you know, not making fun of it culture, but saying, hey, poking it's not it. Like all, yeah, poking a little fun at it, I guess, would be the best way to say it. And, yeah, I mean, there's still like a whole thing of, that's the big reason why I don't like trap too much is just the culture of it. And this is like a good explanation of, hey, look, it's still, even if you're making fun of it in that way, that's the core reason of why it's just, it's messed up. You know, it's very, very, very violent, and it kind of tries to normalize it in that way, normalize that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is a good thing, at least in my opinion.
I basically have your opinion too, so I want to move on. But the last thing I would say is that I've been wrestling with exactly what you're talking about too, and I don't know whether it's a chicken or egg issue. I don't know whether I don't know whether there's demand to see that kind of, like, those depictions in movies, because, like, I'm always trying to make myself see, like, okay, am I really playing into those, like, hypocritical, I don't want to be Fox News, why are black people making the violent music person? Like, I reference this all the time, right? Because, like, yeah. I don't complain about violence in video games, which I've enjoyed. I don't complain about violence in movies, which I've, like, not necessarily enjoyed, but, like, I don't, like, really bat an eye at. But at the same time, culture's changing. We're looking at a lot of these things with a more, like, serious perspective. But
right.
Then I start to think, like, okay, well, it's important that we're looking at these things. It's important that it's aware. But now that we're aware, and now that we all, if we get to the point where we all agree that, okay, this is all depiction, this is all fiction, what do we do there? Do we say we want to get rid of it? Or do we go, because we've all accepted this is fiction, like a video game, we can continue with all these, like, violent depictions and graphic depictions because we've left the idea of, like, fiction. Like, we've dropped the idea of nonfiction. We left that out the window a long time ago.
Hmm. Okay. I mean,
like, I it's just, these are open questions. I don't know where it's going to be. I don't know if there definitely isn't, like, an answer for that, but it's something that I think about, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It'll be a shift. Well, I think there could be a shift in there.
Yeah. Hopefully. Of course, we're relying on people to get smarter.
Yeah, that's something that's not never going to happen.
Right. Okay, next.
Speaking of that, hey, Bono.
Pay your taxes.
I want that on a shirt. Hey, people, pay your taxes.
Okay, like,
so in the Yun Paradise Papers, which, oh man, whew, it's a good dump. big dump.
Nice dump.
Offshore financial affairs.
Deep state dump.
Deep state dump of all of that tax-free money. I mean, Lewis Hamilton buying jets for with tax write-offs and shit.
Hey, enough about my boy Lewis. Stick to the music.
You know me, I'm a Vettel fan, yo. Next thing I know, it says Vettel did some shit Ferrari. If I'm gonna have Italians, I wouldn't be surprised.
I caught that Unso Vita earlier, too. Shout out to, like...
Oh, yeah, that's how you... shout out to Unso Vita.
Shout out to our, like, 3 or 4 German listeners.
Jesus Christ. That's how tired I am. I'm sorry, it's going to come out throughout the day.
No worries, but Bono.
Yeah, apparently he's an investor in a Lithuanian shopping center through a company based in Malta, which is low-tax nation.
The idea is that...
Yeah. This is hilarious.
Yeah, he, like many other celebrities... The Pentagon Papers found out. A bunch of journalists got together. Sorry, not, I keep calling it Pentagon Papers. Paradise Papers. The Paradise Papers are this collection of journalists getting together and finding all of these information about offshore accounts of celebrities, big names, etc. And, like, Queen of England, exactly like you said. And so apparently what happened with U2 is that... with Bono specifically, is that he had someone doing financial management for him, and that those people...
Most people do.
Yeah, of course, because, like, Bono literally isn't paying his taxes. But he's not doing it himself either. He's not, like, going with a 1040 at the end of the year, going, okay, what do I deduct from here? What about that? No.
Right.
No. But, yeah, someone else does it, and those other people have the incentive to make as much money as they can legally. And so they do all these things where you can legally avoid paying taxes. So, like, that's the takeaway here, is that this is all legal, but this is all tax evasion, in a sense. It's like... There are loopholes that allow this to happen really easily, and we spend a lot of time with the IRS knocking on, like, middle-class people's doors when there's a lot more... there's a lot more return on investment if the IRS goes after the Paradise Paper people, is my point. But Bono, everyone, pay your fucking taxes.
Right. Just take... Yeah, everyone, pay your damn taxes.
Be responsible. So... Be an adult. Also, listen to the We Made It podcast, where they just tell people to pay their taxes all the time.
Yep. And going to other people.
Yes.
The fake Jamaican Drake. The Canadian man himself, not from Jamaica. Apparently he's taking 6 months to a year off of music, and he's going to do some great films. His announcement or whatnot, which is really, really interesting, because, you know, he used to do shit back in the day, acting-wise. So, I guess he has two TV series in the work, a film project, and an open concept deal with Apple, whatever the hell that means, question mark. And, because, you know, Apple might not get this shit together.
Yeah.
But this would be cool in a way where finally there won't be, you know, an artist that releases six albums in 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, cool. Honestly, I like that for him in the way where he can take some time off to, you know, do other shit. You don't have to be Gucci Man and, you know, release 185 songs this year.
Yeah.
You know, and do your own thing. Collect yourself, redo your brain, and then you can make music later on if you want. I mean, it's just more bettering yourself as an artist, in my opinion. I actually like it. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I
agree. Apparently he's... yeah, never mind. That's basically everything I said. I was just trying to read the article that we linked in our dump thingy.
No worries. No, I was just going to agree that I generally like these... I generally like when artists take breaks, and so... yeah. Hopefully this improves Drake's music. He's got a lot on his
plate. It's been weak the past 2 years, at least in my opinion, where it's kind of gone down.
Yeah.
And usually when artists can take a break like this or so, and like, you know, a lot of good bands do that, where, you know, they don't, the best bands, best artists, don't release an album every year. You know, they don't release 16 B-sides in a year.
Or if they do, takes them
three, 4 or 5 years to do it, because they take breaks in between because you need that little mental rest instead of doing the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Or if artists do, they at least get some variation in what they're doing, because there are a lot of artists who will just like travel and do music with different, do collaborations.
Right, but, right. The Damon Albarn treatment. Yeah. The Kendrick Lamar now, where he's like, all right, Kendrick, you need to chill.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that there's definitely a fine line. Perfect example. So Damon Albarn, he does a lot of collaborations, and yeah, he has his own problems with like making too much music as well, I think, and putting too much of that out rather than like refining it. But every time he jumps into a music project, it's, as far as genre goes, challenging and different, and you get something out of it as a result. And so that's why it's really good. With Kendrick Lamar, yeah, he's going around in different genres, but like, let's be real, he's not going around in different genres. Well, I mean, he could be getting... I just don't get the feeling that Kendrick Lamar is going around to perform with these different artists purely to get some musical, like, different ideas, per se. I don't think he's doing it for... I don't think this is the primary way that Kendrick Lamar gets better at his craft, by visiting all these other artists. The kind of volume that he and Major Lazer and, like, other artists like that kind of do, where they're just, like, doing collaborations with every single person, continuing to, like, pump out music or going on tour, being out there, because that's how you make money in music now. Also how you make money. Some other things Drake is doing. He's trying to bring back a crime drama, Top Boy, to Netflix. Apparently he wants to do something involving Harry Potter. He also has an untitled TV series working with Anonymous Content, which is a production company I actually know of, kind of. Wouldn't surprise me.
It's just hella random, but I think kind of cool.
Yeah, apparently he wants... he's been seeking out a first edition of the Sorcerer's Stone, or the Philosopher's Stone, as we call it in civilized countries.
Oh, okay.
From Harry Potter. So that's
actually kind of cool. It's really hard to get. Fuck.
$160,000 if Drake wants it, which he can.
Yeah, he definitely can. He has that tax-free money, allegedly.
I don't know if he was in the Paradise Papers, but I mean, yeah, no.
Allegedly.
All right,
you know, so the Canadians are up to with them free healthcare and shit. Damn freeloaders.
At least the Canadians don't have to deal with Taylor Swift. Now, Taylor Swift, her new album Reputation came out, and Taylor Swift has a reputation for many things, one of them being not releasing music easily.
Yeah, that being a big problem.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. Sean and I went back and forth on this as we were about to like produce the episode for the people, as we always do. And, at first, we were going to go, well, okay, time to listen to Taylor Swift's album. Oh, wait, it's not streaming. So that's the first news. It's not streaming anywhere. You can only buy it on Apple Music, and that's what it'll do. And usually when it's like you can only buy it on Apple Music, that means, okay, you can just buy it anyway. They just want you to buy the album as a physical copy. Like, totally fine. Awesome. And so, usually you can do that on Google Play as well. So I was going to go to Google Play Music and do that because, you know, all my other music's in Google if it's not on Spotify. And then turns out it's not even there either. I'm actually trying to look it up, and Reputation is not available to buy, like, on the Google Play Store. And
Jesus
like
Christ.
To just buy for $11.49 or whatever, I can't just do that. So you have to listen to Apple Music. I literally just don't want to create another account.
Right.
And it showed me this difficult.
I refuse to work with Apple Music because they deleted half of my entire library. So yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
I don't trust them anymore.
And like, we didn't want to listen to it anyways. We've heard some of the singles that have come out as well. We listened to Look What You Made Me Do, and we talked about that. And we talked about a lot of what we didn't like about Taylor Swift. So there is no real, like, album review, per se, except that, like, honestly, what would you expect from a Taylor Swift album review? Did her music get any better? No. Is her, like, personality any more, like, bearable if you hated her, or lovable if you loved her? No. It's, like, she hasn't really changed. It's just this different rebranding, this fake kind of evolution that celebrities try to do when they, like, are quiet for a couple years and they want to, like, do their next campaign for their next thing, and they start going, oh yeah, I've totally changed, I've gone through all these different things, it's been a while, and ever since this happened I have a whole new take on this. And, you know, it's and the reason why I know this is still kind of bullshit, because some random blogger called out Taylor Swift in, like, a Medium article, and it was honestly kind of, like, a bit egregious. Like, they went over the top. They were a little bit social justice warrior about it. But they said that, like, the article was rightly pointing out that a lot of white supremacists are using Taylor Swift's, like, music as, like, a rallying cry. They're seeing her as, like, this anti or, like, pro-Trump kind of person.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like, it's this really weird thing. We're like, but it's the Fred Perry thing. Like, I give you shit for Fred Perry now being, like, the official sweater white supremacy, but, like, Fred Perry gets no decision in that. You are not a white supremacist. You'd get no decision in that. Just because assholes take something you enjoy doesn't immediately make...
Doesn't really make
it there. So, like, that's not Taylor Swift's fault. But then she tried to sue the blogger. To be fair, the blogger did... Like, she made a really... I don't really know their gender, but the blogger should have... They made a really odd statement that basically sounded like they're comparing Taylor Swift to Hitler, which is dumb, obviously. I read it in context. I don't think they actually believe that, but it was just, like, over the top SJW bullshit, right?
And that's a big stretch.
But a bigger stretch to say the least. Is Taylor Swift, like, threatening to sue this, like, little. It's a Medium post, okay? It's not like they're writing for the Huffington Post or whatever. Christ. This is like Blogspot.
Like, Hitler.blogspot.org.
Yeah, like this.
Don't type that in.
I think it's Blogger now, but not gonna give. Let's not give Hitler.whatever any free clicks.
No. What clicks you gotta do is audioface.syndicate23.co.
There you go.
That's what you gotta do.
Surprise.
Don't sleep.
Good job for not forgetting the URL.
No. Or we made it .syndicate23.co.
There we go.
If you want some good more content, look at that.
We have done a lot. We've done a lot of plugging.
We really have.
But anything else you have to say about Taylor Swift before we mostly moved on?
No.
I mean, you haven't really given much of an opinion. Like, anything about her?
Because I don't care. I don't like her music. She's crap and annoying. And just go away for a little while, please.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. She's just like one of the least favorite artists just because she just acts like a spoiled brat. But that's just my opinion. I haven't liked her ever. So, how about it?
No time for bullshit.
Come at me, T-Swift lovers.
I mean, you know her fans sent death threats to a Birmingham music store in England just because they played the song over the played some of the album over the radio before it was released? Here's the thing.
This is why we can't have nice things. Here's the thing, Taylor Swift.
It'd be really simple. Say, hey, I don't like it when my fans send death threats to people, and I don't like it when people use my likeness to affirm white supremacy. All you need to do, no Trump, no nothing else, just basic decency. I'm wondering why, like, this is so hard for some people, but never mind. Hashtag no politics, but hashtag slight politics, because many many people heard that there were some special elections in the United States just this past November, and in the state of Virginia especially, there were a lot of big wins from the Democratic Party, and one of those wins was someone named Danica Roem. She's been elected as the first openly transgender, like, elected official in the country, but maybe what you didn't know is that she was a metal vocalist.
That, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now, you told me that. I'm like, I fucked with that.
Here's what fucking fake news CNN won't tell you. That Danica Roem used to be the lead singer from The Cab Ride Home, which honestly is a, like, band I hadn't heard before. I don't, like, listen to metal too much. But, I mean, like, not going to delve too much into politics, but I have always said that people from there shouldn't be so many lawyers in politics. There shouldn't be so many, like, business people and lawyers. It's just, we need some more diversity. I mean, we need some more musicians. We need some more doctors. We need some more economists. We need some more just, like, regular people, regular blue-collar working-class people to offset some of the classism that's going on within the political system. But that's where I'll stop right there. Also, it's kind of funny because the person who wrote the bathroom bill in Virginia, the, like, banning transgender bathrooms or whatever, she just beat that person.
That's hilarious, actually.
I mean, doesn't matter where you stand on the issue, you have to just love the irony. That's just really funny.
It's just like, well, dun 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 da, da, da,
da, da, da, da. All right. Best
theme song in the world.
All
right, going to one of my favorite eclectic weird artists in the world, Bjork, if you can pronounce her name right. She wants people to buy her new album with Bitcoin.
What? Whoa. Yeah, right. Bitcoin.
Like, with Bitcoin, like, and she's gonna give cryptocurrency to people who buy her album. That's kind of cool. And
oh my god, Sean.
Fucking wild.
I need to read you this from The Independent. The Icelandic singer is also accepting three lesser known types of cryptocurrency: Litecoin, Dash, and AudioCoin. Traditionalists can still use credit cards or PayPal. So A, there is an AudioCoin, and B, you can use AudioCoin to buy the new Bjork album. Sean, you gonna
that literally left me speechless. That literally left me speechless there. AudioCoin. For those of you who don't know, Dan and I were joking around for the past, I don't know, 6 months that we'll make our own cryptocurrency called AudioCoin. Because fuck it. Because we make audio face, let's make AudioCoin. Apparently somebody already made it, and Bjork's like, oh yeah, here you go. You can accept AudioCoin. What the hell?
We're in a bubble! This is all ridiculous! It's a simulation.
Yeah, I'm living. This isn't happening. This is weird.
The world is like this? Fucking weird, but the music is great.
But at least the fucking music is great.
With yeah.
An asterisk.
So.
Oh god.
So yeah, like a lot
I'm speechless.
This is the latest in a long history of artists choosing unique ways to release their album. Of course, Radiohead with their Pay As You Want model. Tommy York again with Tomorrow's Modern Boxes, releasing it via BitTorrent.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a pain in the ass to get, but I mean, it worked.
Yeah. And of course you'll be able to buy it regularly and stream it. Also, I wanted to plug, this is not related to the We Made It podcast. This is kind of related to AudioFace. So just like we kind of did with the Beck episode a while ago, where we did like a mini episode talking about, how to get into this artist really quickly. So we're going to do the same thing with Bjork. Sean knows a lot about Bjork. I don't. But her newest album comes out in 2 weeks. So next week we're going to be doing our normal episode, and then we'll have a bonus episode that releases in the middle of the week. That will be like a little Bjork Q&A things. If you want to send us like questions about Bjork or like favorite songs, which we'll be doing some song recommendations as well.
Yes, sir.
Definitely tweet those to SW Suarez, especially because he'll have all the answers. But tag me in those tweets too, because I want to know. But yeah, look out for that to drop in a little bit. Also, as for things to look out for in audience engagement, AudioFace Awards. We're getting those together. We'll probably have those ready, probably like Thanksgiving. Maybe we'll I would love to do the Thanksgiving episode or like something around that as like announcing the award winners or something. But we'll see.
Okay.
No, sorry, not announcing the award winners. Like nominees. That'd be way too.
Nominees?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that.
It could be like a live brainstorm because I have no idea and it will take a while to pick. We'll plan.
We'll figure it out.
We're planning. We're good planners.
We'll plan.
Yes. All right,
best,
so.
The best.
Real album review time. Walk the Moon released What If Nothing this week. It was. There was a lot I liked.
All over
the
place.
Sean, give it your opinion. Because start with. I like how you compared it to 1975 a bit. So start with that.
So, okay, I always like to go straight through the album. So, the first song, let me look it up here real quick, just to make sure I don't fuck up the words. Song is Press Restart, which I hated, because it was way too poppy, kind of that stupid alternative thing, which, you know, I'm vehemently yes, against. Like, I really hate it. And I go, oh, God, is it going to be one of those albums which is just crap from top to bottom? And then the second song, Headphones, was actually pretty good. Like, you know, typical, you know, rock, indie rock song. I'm all right. One Foot was good. Surrender was good. And then, it got weird. Where it'd be one song would be really good, one song would be bad, one song would be good, one song would be bad. It was just, it has no theme.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. There were some songs that... In the middle of the song, it sounded like, you know, the deluxe version of the 1975, their first album. And I go, whoa, like, this is kind of cool. Like, that laid-back, kind of almost jazzy indie with mix blend with indie rock, like, really, really cool. And then it would go back to upbeat pop, and it just, like... There are some really good songs in here, and then there's a lot of just randomness thrown in there. It's just no cohesion at all, which is disappointing because... With the amount of good content in the album itself, they could have made something really, really good, but it fell super, super short, at least to me. I it's just super, super all over the place. I have no idea what theme they were trying to do.
Yeah. I'll give them some context, because I kind of jumped right in. So Walk the Moon, for people who don't know, they're a band from Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
They're a band from Ohio. They've been active since 2008, and...
2012 is their first big song, right? Which is, Anna Sun.
Yeah.
Which, Anna Sun. Like, and then everybody knows Shut Up and Dance.
Yeah. There's like
that's a big song.
Shut up and dance with me. Yeah. There's like,
which is actually, it's a good song. It's just overplayed as hell, like most good songs.
Yeah. I think you almost have to like build that into it's a good song. Good songs get, well, not all good songs get overplayed, but you know.
A lot of bad shit gets overplayed, dude.
It's fair. Totally fair. But, yeah, they do indie rock and that kind of thing. And what I've always felt about Walk the Moon is that they can do fun alternative. They have their sound down. They have indie down. They have, like, that pop dance shit down. Like, they're good at that. But it gets kind of whiny. It gets kind of droney. It gets kind of Weezer-like after a while. And so that's what I really... didn't like as much. So a lot of the vocals ended up being overpowering in some songs, and then in other songs the music was more overpowering than the vocals. And I at least preferred that to the other way around. I preferred the music to overpower the vocals a little bit. But yeah, what Sean said is that like some songs just be very odd sounding. Like Headphones, I really enjoyed. Press Restart, One Foot, Surrender, I all kind of hate.
Yeah.
All Night, I really loved. Sound Awakening, really strong. But, like, all the rest was just so sporadic and weird. I also didn't get much of a flow to the album as well. And...
No, not at all.
Like, it just didn't... I always say, I like to see an album where there's a start and a finish and there's a story and you can kind of tell how it all fits together and that it's a finished project and that every piece is, like, a part of that... Every song is a part of that puzzle that completes the project. This feels like a jigsaw puzzle that was dropped 200 feet by an Amazon drone. Like, it's just all over the place.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's just, it's disappointing in that way because I know what it could have been. It could have been really good. It could have been 1975 good, where it's like, holy shit, these songs are just freaking amazing, but they just, I think they tried too much.
Yeah.
I'm very glad, like, I'm happy with what they tried to do and everything. Like, as we always say, hey, try new shit. You know, if it doesn't work, doesn't work. Just don't be the status quo new shit.
Yeah, and this definitely wasn't stupid... status quo new shit.
No, it was new things that, a couple things that it almost sounded like it was status quo new stuff, but it wasn't. It changed halfway through. I go, okay, they are trying to push that envelope. It fell flat. On a few of the songs, so
hopelessly flat. Like, kind of sad.
Yeah, no, because there was a couple songs that were really good. So I mean, honestly, if you want to listen to the album, it's okay. Like a solid, I don't know, 6 out of 10. I think that was what I would give it.
I would give it maybe
6.5.
Yeah, 6.5, just for effort.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna rag on them. It's more of what you tried just didn't work, unfortunately.
I think what would have fixed this was if this were an EP as opposed to an album.
Or honestly, what you could have done is you could have, if they waited a little bit longer maybe and really, I don't know, tighten up the songs in that way and really made it be more cohesive, then I think it could have been better. But I mean, it's all what direction they want to do, so it's not much... you know, there's not much that we could say that they could change because, you know, every artist is different.
Yeah, and it is really good. I'm glad we're pointing out that they did do some things well because it's very often we can go like, oh, they should have been different. They really aren't different. It's
right,
shit.
Right.
And you get inundated by the fact that it happens so often that you start to kind of wonder, is it just like how, you don't have to get curious about the way you consume music, but it really is just like that. It's just hard to really tell that it's really this bad sometimes, but... No, they definitely tried different things, absolutely, but no cigar.
Yeah, but yeah, no cigar, unfortunately.
Jay-Z works his way into every single episode.
I swear to God.
But he fixed he may have fixed ticketing.
Hopefully.
Kind of. So I'll give you just the best, like, I'll give you the headline from the story that everyone's running with. Some of the tickets at Jay-Z's shows end up going for $6.
Yeah, this is one of the coolest things for ticketing that I've heard in, you know, since the whole ticketing, I don't even want to call it a crisis, but...
Debacle
happened. So Dan sent me this, what, like Tuesday or something, where he would put his VIP tickets or like front row... would it be, yeah,
or like the front, box, row. Front row or box?
Like box, whatever, you know, depending on the venue. It's not just venues, not festivals.
But arenas.
Premium seating is what I should say.
There we go, yeah.
Premium VIP. Make them stupid, ridiculously expensive. Like thousands of dollars almost.
Yeah.
So that way the StubHub, the... Ticketmaster, SoFighter, whatever you want to buy from, they would get those and sell it at that price because the people that would buy VIP tickets anyways are the people that could afford, you know, to drop $1,500 for Jay-Z no matter what.
And who would
so that gladly. And would actually yeah and would do it gladly because, you know, they make, you know, seven figures.
So the idea was a target that, for the people who aren't, for the people for whom money is not so much of a barrier, the idea is to play on that. The idea is that you could create more, what in economic terms is called producer surplus. You can create more profit, essentially, by targeting the same people who would get those seats and just saying, hey, pay more now.
So that way, what it does is it creates all of the other tickets there to just drop. Because they'll make the same profit, basically.
Yeah.
And then there is people that were putting on Twitter, like, Jay-Z tickets, like, you know, top row or so for $25 or $6 at some point.
Yeah, so these are nosebleeds. You're not getting, like, great seats, but you're paying $6 to see Jay-Z, and you're not getting scalped. And you're not getting, like, oversold. Amazing.
You're not getting destroyed, because even some of the good seats there weren't that bad compared to what most concerts were. You know, that'd still be maybe $75-$80, but that's a hell of a lot better than $300.
Oh, yeah, because to see... So I went to see Kendrick Lamar over the summer, and thankfully we mm-hmm. got in before the scalpers got in, because I saw tickets going for, like, for what we got, and especially like a, I eventually got to be in one of the VIP areas where we had access to like the bar that's higher up in the Staples Center, and we didn't pay more than like $100 each for those tickets. But that creates this economic issue of the people who technically could afford or would afford to like splurge for those tickets. There are too many of those people who fit that amount. Like $100 or whatever is too low of a margin. And so what happens, like you said, is like those scalpers or those resellers come in, they buy a bunch of these tickets at low values and then sell them at high prices, because the people who really want them still want those tickets. The resellers just understand they'll still buy those tickets at a higher price. If you sell those tickets at a higher price originally, the resellers can't buy them, or there's less incentive to buy them because they can't make as much money. And meanwhile, the people who still want to buy those big tickets still do. And so the venue gets money. It even said this tour is his, like his highest grossing tour yet. And at the end of the day, the people who are his fans, who are like, hey, you know, I love Jay-Z. I've been with him since the Blueprint, but like I ain't got $500 to see a show, but man, I would love to see a show. He can do that now. No one loses money. Right. Fans get to actually see the music. Like, this is exactly the way it should be. And guess what?
Yeah, no.
It only happens when you make the rich pay a little more money. I'm just not saying anything. Just saying, man.
Right, no tax breaks, people. I mean, pay your fucking taxes.
Right?
That's honestly really cool. I like it. Finally, there might be a damn solution.
Yeah, because there's the U2 Ticketmaster thing, which like might also work well, but I mean...
Yes, it's cool, because we'll see in the next probably 6-7 months what's really going to be the way to go.
Yeah.
Basically. Because now there's a lot more albums coming out, and usually tours start, you know, February, March is when, you know, they really start to hit.
Yeah.
Plus full stride.
Plus, not every venue can do this. Like, not every venue has, like, perfect VIP areas. And not every artist is Jay-Z. So,
right.
But, I mean, you need a trailblazer. You need, like, someone to do it so people at least, like, have it in their minds as an option.
Yeah.
Which is good. Speaking of ticketing, and back to the Paradise Papers. So, a lot of these articles are from the NME, for NME, so they use the phrase ticket touting often. But they're the phenomenon that I was just describing now, where people buy tickets as soon as they come out. They sometimes write bots for them and everything. And they will get all those tickets and then resell them and like fuck people out of being able to see artists at like a reasonable price. But yeah, there was one... There's a Canadian ticket like firm that was like that. That avoided taxes on sales of concert tickets from everything from Adele to Ed Sheeran. So not only are they fucking celebrities by making money for like what these ticket scalpers are doing are they're making money off of other musicians' hard work, and they're taking your money and not giving it to those musicians. They are capitalizing they're capitalizing off of the dead weight loss. And they're making a profit for doing essentially nothing. Especially when they can write these bots. So, yeah. So in one instance, someone was able to snap up £30,000 worth of tickets for Adele's UK arena tour.
Holy hell.
And so, yeah, like, this is the perfect example for, like, why completely free market capitalism is not, like, sustainable. Because one person who doesn't make the music, who does nothing to benefit any part of the music-making process, from being a fan and or like making a shirt to making the music to even someone who makes the microphone that noted little bitch Ed Sheeran is singing into, he isn't even getting a cent, okay? Like, that's not fair. That's ridiculous. And so it's good that like we know about these. Also, StubHub and Viagogo's offices were raided as a part of the investigation. So, GubHub, am I right?
GubHub, yep. The un-GubHub.
All right. So, oh, God. This is an interesting break, because I've been spending a lot of time working on the Ben Shapiro video, and so I've been, like, really laser-focused on this side, but now I'm about to say a lot of offensive shit.
This is gonna be bad.
This is Hello, humans, and welcome.
Meek Mill.
Welcome to No Chill Island 3. What are the rules of No Chill Island, Sean, if you can remember them right now, given your state of...
All right. Happiness? Fastest person, first person to get bleeped, walk out of the room, or end the podcast forever, loses. That is the meat and potatoes of the No Chill Island segment.
There's a line. Face.
This one is Meek Mill experience.
Now, there is a line. You cannot cross the line. Line. You're supposed to step near the line. Maybe dance around.
You get
it,
as close to that line, skip. Man. You
can't go over it.
It's just, it's like the Indy 500. You get to that wall, you touch that wall, you can skim that wall, but you hit the front wing on the wall, next thing you know, your car's rolling at 400 k an hour, and you're gone. There goes your neck. Goodbye.
Sometimes you can get a little bit of paint on your car, a little like chipped off. You can like scrape the wall a little bit. But sometimes you hit the corner wrong, and yeah, you just flip and...
You're Lewis Hamilton earlier this morning in qualifying. You lose the back end, and you're in a barrier. You're like, shit.
So Meek Mill, let's. So Meek Mill.
Enough of the racing references.
So Meek Mill is a rapper.
Yes.
He is had a lot of controversy. Honestly, a lot of people hate him. He got into this like weird beef with Drake, I think, even too, and a lot of people weren't on his side.
Jamaican rapper.
It's dumb. I don't care. But it's weird because Meek Mill is on probation, and he violates probation, and then now he's going to have to go to jail for violating probation. Jay-Z is like coming out to his defense. It's like kind
of
weird.
A lot of people coming out to his defense.
Yeah. And so there's many different sides to this, but let me try to lay out the details. And Sean, pick
up. How about it?
Let's get all the details through first, and then...
And then we go in.
This is a Meek Mill only No Chill Island, so... Let's get your takes ready and let's go in. So thanks to Billboard for some of the details about this. So first, Meek Mill went to prison in 2008. He was caught trying to carry a gun in a local shopping store, as you do.
If you're from that Ramona Park, then you got to carry your 9, but you never know.
I mean, I guess for some reason it was unlawful. Either it was the... sorry, motorcycle. Either it was like wasn't concealed carry, or some other situation where it just wasn't supposed to have that. You know, that happens pretty often. So he was arrested then in 2008. Spent 8 months in prison, probation for 5 years. Then on Halloween, he was arrested because they smelled weed coming from his car. He was arrested because police refused to search the car. It was on the way to a performance or something, but yeah, he was arrested then. He was released from, after his original probation thing, he decided, like, okay, I'm gonna take things more seriously. I'm gonna, like, start, like, focusing on music specifically. But he violated his probation by booking performances outside of Philadelphia without his judge's approval. So he was sentenced for 3 to 6 months in jail for then, and then... he was put on parole and ordered to complete etiquette classes as well. He violated parole.
The hell are etiquette classes?
The fuck? It's what they
people
do.
People still do. People still do that thing.
It's what they do in court when you're uppity and they don't like it.
Ah, I see.
And they go, I don't like your tone, or like generally, it's like there's nothing on the books I can get you for, but you're a bit of an asshole, so I'm going to throw the book at you because I can. Like, do whatever I can, just like make it sting for you. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, House. So 2016, violating parole again. Had that Drake beef, dating Nicki Minaj, traveling without permission of the judge. So just like continued parole violations, sentenced to house arrest again. Then he found himself in a fight with in a St. Louis airport because he refused to take a photo with an employee. Of course, still on violation from his 2009 original like gun and drug charge, or 2008 or whatever. That just happened this year. And so, long story short, he goes to jail. He does dumb things that, like, okay, you know what? Figure it out. You pay your time to the law, whatever you're supposed to do. Et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, he's now been given a couple years of jail time, 2 to 4 years of jail time, I believe, for violating his parole. And then, yeah, it's weird because everyone is coming out and saying, like, he's being mistreated. He's being, like, this is so weird. It's being thrown against the book. Free Meek Mill. Yeah, Jay-Z's out of him. There's this article in Fader where it's just like, hip-hop is united behind Free Meek Mill. After a shock sentencing, fellow artists and the Philly rapper messages of support.
The hell? It's just, yeah, it's really strange where a couple of situations might not have been his fault here or there. A lot of it was. And then people would just like jumped on, hey, with, might have thrown in the race card or this or that. And it's, yeah, I don't know. It's just really strange to me. Like he just fucked up too many times.
Yeah.
Where it's like he kept crossing that line of, all right, the judge told you not to do this shit. You're not supposed to do this shit. Parole, pretty simple, plain out in plain English. This is what you have to do. Stay within those lines. You cross that line, you get, a little more jail time. Or you have to pay a fine, or you get house
Get
arrest, this or that,
bleeped.
whatever. You get bleeped. Don't drop the soap. Yeah, and he kept crossing that line.
Yeah.
And he just kept going over and over. And that after a while, it's gonna catch up to you. I mean, look at the goose. Now the goose is loose because he paid his taxes. He paid his dues.
He paid his
You know.
debts to
Yeah,
society or whatever.
exactly.
Like,
Atlantis, because Lannister always pays his debts. You gotta do that. Master of Coin wants his money. You gotta do that.
right? You're like, I obviously feel for the, I feel for all the arguments that have to relate to, oh, well, he's being like really mistreated, like being all
Right.
this justice system against him. And of course, like, black people being mistreated by the justice system, nothing new. First of all, the judge is black, so let's
Just wait, really? That's
yeah,
even better.
black woman, which is honestly
Oh my God, that is
explains a lot of the
amazing.
story. Because
That just makes it 10 times better.
here's the thing, Meek Mill just found out, don't fuck with black women. Like, I don't get why she's surprised. Like, why Meek Mill's surprised. I don't get why anyone's surprised, because this judge, it looks like, because every time he violated parole, from what I read in the Billboard article, it kept being he violated the parole orders of this judge. So this judge is like, this nigga really don't listen to anything. And it gets to the point where it's less of a, like, Meek Mill is not a person where I want to defend on a hill and say this is an example of police brutality. This is a person who's been given, who's A, acted out, or
Right.
like not police brutality, but like being mistreated by the justice system as a whole, right? No one's beaten Meek Mill yet.
Right.
That'd be a great world star day, right? But no,
Oh my God.
I don't, I'm actually kidding. I don't want Meek Mill to be injured. Although this is No Chill Island, so let's just say I
Fuck it, fuck it. Why not?
do. Fuck
Get in
it.
there. Drop the soap. See what
Let's
happens.
say there's a day where Meek Mill gets Rodney King on the over right on the board, right? So
Jesus Christ.
that's not
Is there gonna be
happening.
riots again? Am I have to sit on my porch with my nine just in case they come out in Long Beach and I got a pickup truck and put a 50 cal in the back or something?
Okay, first of
Or is it
all,
The Walking
first of
Dead?
all, we're at the point where there might actually be riots if like Meek Mill are put in jail. And secondly, if there are riots, I'm glad I live on the second floor of my building because I can a couple of motherfuckers if they choose to get anywhere near my shit, right?
I think you just lost.
Oh, man.
It's still too soon for that.
Oh, God.
Jesus fuck. I would have used a different one. I would have said, I you could it,
Oh,
or it. Shit, we both lost. We gotta leave that whole thing. Okay, we gotta get rid of
yeah, so,
that. Type that in, Dan. Type that
Oh,
in, Dan. Yep. And then,
no. Okay,
hold
so
on.
that was, but I'm not even done making my point. My point was that this isn't like a case of police brutality. This isn't a case of being mistreated by the criminal justice system. This is a case of someone who is rich, who is famous, who thought they could get above the law, who thought their attitude was above the law. And yeah, I kind of fucking hate that. Like, we can do some arguments about, like, okay, are we really gonna arrest this guy for weed? Is it legal in Georgia or Atlanta or wherever he was, Philly, whatever? Like, have arguments about that. Should marijuana be legal? There are conversations, but like, then there's assault. Then there's having the gun whenever you're not supposed to. Then there's the repeated, like, going over your parole. Like, dude, you're not invincible. And if you weren't rich and you weren't famous, you'd be getting way worse and no one would have a hashtag for you. So, like...
Yeah. I'm just sick of this bullshit. You've hit that line. You're like, I don't know why you want to defend him. It's so stupid. Good point.
People defend them, though. Like, I just don't...
Yeah, I don't know. People defend a lot of bullshit, so... Hey, Meek Mill, pay your taxes.
Enjoy the clink.
Hey. Hey, Meek Mill, don't drop the soap. I made that joke way too many times today. So, we're going to go to... Yeah, so...
Future and Young Thug. Super Slimy. So, Super Slimy, I think, is what we'll want.
I caught Slimmy because fuck it.
Super Slimmy Shady. So it was pointed out that we talked about Without Warning a couple weeks ago. While Super Slimmy by featuring Young Thug is a similar project in that it was like a surprise thing released. It's by two really prominent trap artists, and we got pointed out by a friend of the show and fan, Tariq. Friend of the show for sure. We don't have fans. We have friends. We have fam. That's what it's about. But he pointed out
I'm ever going to say that in my life.
God, if we have him on the podcast, it's going to be wild. We might have a Tariq episode. Well,
oh God, I'm going to walk out of the room
against my better judgment. I might be giving Tariq airtime. We'll see about that. We'll see. But anyways, I wanted to point out this album because it is fair to talk about. And as Sean, I kind of just wanted to throw another thing at the wall and see if Sean liked it from Trap. So, Sean, did you like it?
No. Well, no. Yes, because the song, Jesus Christ, I couldn't make up words there. The songs were shorter than usual Trap songs, if that makes any sense. Like, they were, like, under 3 minutes, a lot of them.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. So, like, the beat, the musicality of it was a bit different. But, god damn, the lyrics the vocals are rough. Like, so high-pitched, it was annoying. More than anything. It was like, dude, can you turn it down a notch, please? If it wasn't for that, I probably would be, actually fine with it, because... I just liked how it was a tiny bit different than most trap, than the usual bullshit that you get over and over, and it's kind of overdone now. And, yeah, it's kind of whatever.
So that was interesting that you point out a difference in the musicality of it, because I think I noticed that too, but...
It's a little bit different. It's kind of subtle to where it's... Since the songs tend to be shorter on that album, they had to basically just... make it a little bit different just to keep up with the flow of it.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Where... Yeah, see, yeah, it's like, here we go. 2.5, 239, 325, 2.5, 246, 309, 247. The longest song is 4 minutes.
I think,
and there's only 2 4-minute songs. The rest are all in the twos.
Yeah,
13 songs at 40 minutes. So with that, they had to change it a little bit. The main thing I didn't like was just the vocals. Because it was more of... The auto-tune really doesn't go well if you're trying to go high pitch.
Yeah.
If you're trying to go an octave higher. If you're trying to go into a tenor instead of a baritone or a bass. It doesn't work out for a tenor, because then it just... Yeah.
I guarantee you that's rough. The first time you heard the word baritone in a trap review.
Yeah, really. I'm trying to do this for the people, all right? I'm trying to educate the people.
Get fucking learnt, all
right? Right?
No, but I love what you said, and you actually added... You said a lot better than what I could have said, so I really don't even want to add much to that.
Really? I'm kind of surprised on that.
Yeah, because like, you're the one who's like out for the count, but...
But hey, in order to not like something, you have to really, really dive into it in order to understand it.
That's very true, and that's also what I'm
doing. And that's one of my life mottos. I hate humans because I know humans. There you go.
No, I think that's totally fair. It's important to, as I'm learning with the Shapiro video, honestly, to like know your enemy, or like know who you disagree with, to like understand why, because before you disagree with them, figure out to make sure that it's not just it's not just because your own beliefs are at stake, or it's not because
your own prior judgments.
Yeah, because exactly. I think it's, for me, it's always making sure that I account for the possibility that I'm wrong.
Exactly, because you might be wrong.
Slight chance you possibly be incorrect. So I think net good, they're doing something different for trap. I like the musicality of it a lot more. Net bad, the vocals for sure. I thought I don't like the auto tune. I thought the lyrics were lyrics can get a little bit
touchy. Okay.
I think the lyrics were a bit better than a lot of other things, but like it was just too many effects, too much. Like, I like the trap is rhythmic with like the way like trap artists like rap with their lyrics. Like, I like that they can keep the rhythm sometimes, like the triplet thing. It's dope. You can just chill with that. Like, that's cool enough. But all this like auto tune, like, is it back to that like one app that Bam was playing around with auto tune back in like literally a decade ago?
Caesar with those glasses. Oh, those are the days. Holy shit. How do I remember that? That kind of that frightens me that I still remember that.
Really fast, while I have this up, on the We Made It podcast, they talked about the biggest scandal in football. What is it? You'll have to hear to find out. It's a big scandal. And Jozy Altidore fight? I don't know too much about that. A soccer is not my thing. But check that out.
Jozy Altidore.
Altidore. There we go.
Let's see if you couldn't, say his damn name.
All right. Next up. So we know Kanye West is up to things. But he's just filed a trademark for something called Yeezy Sound.
Fucking A.
The trademark gives Kanye West like the right to use Yeezy Sound for everything from musical recordings to, quote, the management of performing artists, streaming of music, audio, images, video, and other multimedia content. What if Kanye's about to start a title?
I was literally about to say that. Is Kanye about to start his own goddamn title? I swear to God. No, don't do this, Kanye. Don't do this to me. In Wyoming in your doom end of the world bunker thing.
I mean, supposedly Jay-Z was supposed to like make up with Kanye, and so maybe like that beef had been down because they had some like beef with Life of Pablo, and I think that there was some fault to be had on both sides. But Kanye, though not exactly known for being a man of smart decisions, starting a streaming service right now is just, you lost the first mover advantage on that. It's not going to work out, I don't think. But, I mean, this could be any other number of things, and so that might be cool. But, I mean, for what there is about Kanye's music, I am starting to admire his existence and his presence as much more. Not as much as I admire it, okay? But just, I'm now taking a look at the perspective from Kanye West, the musician, and I've gone away from Kanye West, really? The ass clown, to, like, Kanye West, the holistic person. Like, Kanye West, the media figure. Kanye West, the presence, I suppose. I'm starting to think about that and, like, what push or pull or nudge he has over culture, I suppose. And that's how I really look at Kanye West. And now that's, like, by new appreciation or new, like, that's what I mean by that. It's a new perspective I have of him. Not necessarily a change in opinion.
Okay.
And it's not just based off of this. It's just like, hey, this is a weird thing. It'll be something to look out for. Maybe it'll be ridiculous. Maybe it'll blow up in his face.
Right.
But let's bring Audio Face full circle. Do you have any last words?
No, I was just thinking. It's interesting. Don't start a new title. God damn it. Please don't. Please don't.
No more streaming services.
Seriously.
No more parties in LA.
We have enough of those. Burn it to the ground. Revelation.
Okay. Are you ready for the podcast to come full circle? Because in this podcast, we've talked about arena ticketing. We've talked about Jay-Z, which had to do with arena ticketing. We talked about noted little bitch Ed Sheeran.
Noted? Wow, how do words good there?
That's brilliant. It's the last story. We're out.
It's
the
last story. Yeah, now I'm done. Noted little bitch. Wynn Butler. Arcade Fire. Reportedly playing to half-empty arenas in the North America tour. That is fucking rough. That's as much so as sad. I like their music and stuff, but he's a little bitch, and this is hilarious.
Okay, Wynn Butler just has the most punchable face, to be honest, but...
Jesus Christ.
I'm looking at this enemy.
Dan's vendetta against him is hilarious.
I'm gonna use this enemy, like, clip as, like, the album artwork for the episode. We're doing album artwork for episodes now. You'll be able to see that on our new website, hee-hee.
Yeah,
I'm gonna use this as the artwork, because it's just, I hate his face. But, honestly, music only. I love Arcade Fire. It kind of sucks that it looks like they overbooked, I guess. I just think they kind of missed the mark. They had a lot of potential with a really, like, interesting concept going into everything. Now, I was totally down for it. I remember talking about it and just really talking about how much it captured how I felt about 2017, back in the summer when we were quitting episodes back in Mochi Industries. But
those are the days.
Yeah. But, yeah, they just really dropped the ball. The marketing campaign was stupid. Wynn Butler was just variously stupid. I think... On the one hand, first problem, they let their antics overtake the music. And then their second problem, just also didn't, like, pull its weight this time around.
Yeah, I didn't pull enough of the whole Everything Now campaign in order to make it seem a little bit better or seem more of a... as a cool project instead of something that's just a bit gimmicky. Like, I think it's cool and all, but... It's just, it really fell flat. Like, it was too much. It got really, really corny and weird very quickly. And then he became a little bitch. And now that's his title forever.
Two or three good singles on it. Like, two or three good singles for sure.
Oh, no. Like, this actual song, Everything Now, is really good. There's a few good songs on that album. Like, I still listen to it occasionally, but...
Creature Comfort, yeah. I still really love. I think it's lyrically, like, a really, like, amazing song. One of the best written songs of the year.
Oh, yeah, which we gotta figure out categories for our audio face.
Gotta put up all of those. That's gonna be a labor of love, but you know what's gonna be great? I'm gonna be done producing this. We'll have some more, like, Syndicate 23 launch stuff, and then all I'll have to do is audio face awards end of the year. And then just land the year, land the plane.
Maybe land a gear will be fucked up, but we'll still at least land the plane. And there you go.
That was an episode. That was an hour and... It'll be about an hour and 5 minutes. Hour and 10 minutes, maybe. A little bit over that. But yeah, pretty good. We are very tired. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you so much for subscribing and watching.
Always.
We got a lot of really good feedback from the last episode with the Greg Gutfeld stuff. And that's always super nice to see. It's super nice to know we're, like, having an impact and stuff.
Thank you, humans.
Yeah, so where can people find you in life, Sean?
Yeah, if you can find me at SW Suarez on Instagram and Twitter. And follow my triathlon and eating adventures and anything other sport things I would do related.
Exciting.
And always ask for music
that
stuff if you want to. Yeah, it's going wild. And I play every sport in the world, I swear to God, at this point. You got a sport for me to play, I'll play it.
Right.
I'll find out a way. Right. And then always give me your music recommendations or yell at me for hating Taylor Swift or some shit. I don't care. Start Twitter beef with people. I'm down. Why not?
I say devote a couple minutes of your day to Twitter beef. Remember not to get too into it, but just, like, enjoy the comical, just fucking with people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the stuff we need.
That's the best I can do. Everyone's trying to fuck with me. I'm just going to fuck with everyone else.
Where can people find you?
Fuck with me, Ben Shapiro. Watch. Go to danfmeenter.net/Shapiro. That's going to be a big, beautiful, like, article, video experience thing where you're going to see me get to, like, take down Ben. I really went hard. This is a long project, but I felt really passionate about making this, and I'm really glad. So check that out. Dan from the internet on Instagram, Dan from the web on Twitter for now. So far, so good, Twitter. We've got more characters. We're getting rid of some of the spam and hate mail now. Give me my fucking username. Extend the usernames. Let me have Dan from the internet on both. That would be even better. But enough bitching from me. Thank you all for listening. You make it happen. You are a part of the family.
Yeah.
And yeah, we will have more shit for you next week.
Yeah. That sounds like a plan. Always for the people.
For the people.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.